Hello and welcome to podcast number two with the Maroon and White Pod. We're delighted to have Tracy Leonard, well now Tracy Roach, here with us today. Welcome Tracy.
Thanks very much.
Good to be here.
Likewise.
Tracy, I was surprised to hear that you have retired this year.
Yeah, no, the time has come for me to hang up the boots. I suppose I kind of been thinking about it, I suppose, the last 2 years really. And I gave last year a go, but for me, I suppose the big element of it, the enjoyment was gone. And I know I've heard a lot of people talk about it in the past, you know, when the enjoyment goes and that's the time to kind of hang up the boots. But I never thought that would come for me. I suppose, you know, when you come in at such a young age playing, you never think the years will tick on as quick as they do. But I know the time has come for me now. As I said to you, the enjoyment's just gone. So it's time for me to move on and let the younger ones move in.
Yeah, and that's mad because I still look at you as being one of the younger ones. Like, I still remember when I used to give you maths grinds, and even when I was training you in the Prez, like, that only seems like 6-7 years ago when your career was only starting at senior level.
Yeah, no, I hear you because I suppose when we got to the All-Ireland in 2019, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, enjoy it. And you're like, Jesus, it's hard to enjoy an All-Ireland final, you know, when it's the top stage and you're wanting to perform and everything. It's hard to enjoy it, but the proof was in the pudding. Like, a lot said you may never get back there, and that had shown that, you know, Galway Ladies had never got back to an All-Ireland since 2019. And years tick on, like, you don't feel a year missed out through injury like I did myself in 2016. Some years don't go well for you, you know, you might have a great year, all the years do go well. So it's just, years move very fast, and, you know, I suppose it's while you're there, and when you have the opportunity to play, I'd advise everyone to give it their all.
Yeah, because it does go quick.
Oh, that's far too quick.
Yeah. And before we delve into your career, you have some good news lately.
Yeah, a bit of a different, I suppose my summer is going to be a bit different next
year. You're going into studs.
Yeah. I am currently 22 weeks pregnant, so I suppose the summer is going to be a little bit different this year. It won't be getting ready for trainings, which might be easier, I don't know, come May, June, July. It might be easier to pick up the gear bag and go training, but no, we have a little one coming along the way in May.
In May, very good.
Yeah.
So it will be a very different year for you, 2024. But as you mentioned there earlier, you know, I felt it myself as well, that the older you get, the busier your life gets. And not that you value your free time or your evenings a bit more, but, you know, you're coming down the Galway Road there at 5 or 6 in the evening, you are. And the thoughts, it could be pouring rain there on the windscreen, and the thoughts of going into the house and grabbing the gear bag. The older you get, it does get that bit harder, especially, you know, when you're in school or when you're in college, you have a bit more free time and football can be the centre. But as you grow older, and again, you want to start a family, your priorities shift.
Yeah, for sure. Like, again, it's only the last year or two I've seen that, you know, up till now, you didn't see that. And everyone was saying, oh, it's a big commitment and it's a big sacrifice. And no, you don't. That's not, when you're in the circle and you're in the environment, you don't see that. But it's only of late I see that now, when people say it to you, say, oh yeah, it is a commitment and it is a sacrifice. But when you're enjoying it, it's not. But like for me, when I first came into the county scene, up until when I got married last year, like, it's a lot different living at home where you have a lot of stuff done for you, as opposed to coming in the door and where himself might be only in after you and you have to start a dinner, or, you know, you're doing your own washing or what. So, like, you know, I have huge gratitude to mum and dad for me to play, from being able to play as long as I can, because I won't deny it. Like, there was a lot done for me, and a lot might say I'm spoiled, but I don't think, like, you might say the same idea. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to continue at the level we were playing at without the help and support of mum and dad at home. Like, you know, just dinners or lunches ready for you the next day, and washing them, stuff you didn't have to consider. Whereas now it's a bit different, you know, when you're not living at home, and it just, things change. And as you said, when you get older, it's for me last year, it was like the thought, like, it was just, I didn't enjoy, and it was nothing to do with set up or anything like that. It was the thought of going, and it was like, I think maybe COVID as well kind of changed me a little bit. COVID, when there was no training and you had to do your own bit, and being able to do it in your own time was a huge, which I think was a nice way of, like, doing it in your own time and being finished early and, you know, that you're not probably all night on the road or whatnot, like, but it just, I suppose that's just the way it sizzles out, like.
Yeah, the flexibility of your own schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you're not tied to Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, which, as I said, for many years we did this. But the older you get, and I think COVID definitely did make us appreciate our own flexible schedules as well. And we filled the gaps by going to the gym or going for the walks or going even after COVID, going for little trips around Ireland, stuff like that. But, you know, just a quick one there on that. So it was basically it wasn't the starting the family that influenced this decision. It was simply just your time had come into it.
For me, the big thing was enjoyment. The enjoyment was gone for me. So, you know, I'm happy doing my own kind of my own training and my own time. I thoroughly enjoy it.
When did you start on the senior panel?
I went in after my leaving cert, so I would have been nearly, I probably was 19. So it probably was 2011, 2012.
So you had, what are we doing there? We're doing our maths, so like 12 years essentially.
Yeah.
12 years essentially at it, yeah.
And they flew.
Yeah.
Absolutely flew.
And you had obviously underage, like, it's a long time committing, like, that's a long time even in a job that you're getting paid for.
Yeah.
12 years is a long time.
No, I wouldn't turn back the clock in anything, because the friends you meet and the friends, you know, that I have met through sport, they're there for a lifetime.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, and you miss that right now. I miss that element of not seeing the girls.
Yeah.
That's a big, you know, it's a big kind of saying, oh, you'd like to be there, but, you know, like a lot of my friends that I would have came into the setup with, they have kind of moved as well. You know, apart from maybe, I suppose, two or three that are in there at the minute, but, you know, the close friends have moved on, so it's time comes.
Yeah. Well, if we weren't enjoying it, we wouldn't commit to it. But when you look back in hindsight, it's just 12 years at senior. And then let's rewind again a little bit further back. You started, I think you were saying, was it with Raftery, the Raftery Cup? Was that your first real experience?
That would have been a primary school level. Raftery Cup was just a community kind of school blitz that went on.
That's when your football career started.
And we had great fun at that, because I suppose I went to Cylon National School and it was a complete family event. Like every, I suppose, country school, you have a lot of family. So I suppose it was only a seven-a-side tournament, and I suppose my brother played, and then my cousins back the road. So out of the seven, sure, there must have been about three or four of us on the team. Do you know that kind of way? So, you know, to win the Raftery Cup, I think it was probably in the last year of school, it was a big achievement for us, because I suppose we were a very a small school.
Yeah.
And I suppose there would have been other bigger schools around that, I suppose, didn't give us much of an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But it was a great honour for us to win it that year.
Would Cumber have been, or Belclare?
Cumber would have been the school main, to beat, yeah.
Okay, so you start with Raftery Cup, and throughout your primary school, was that the main competition then? There was nothing else really there to note?
No, we had just all girls seven-a-side tournament as well.
Yeah, and, I remember those actually.
Yeah, it was coming
to Munsville, yeah. Is that still going, I wonder?
I think it is,
yeah. Very good. And then I suppose when you pushed on then to maybe 10, 11 or fourth class, fifth class, you started then with Curraghfin.
Yeah, that would have been Curraghfin. We quite successful underage in Curraghfin. We won a lot, like we would have went to a lot of failures under 14.
Yes.
Under 16, we would have great rivalry with Clare Galway. Even Sawtill, I think, at that time. And then we got to minor. And we were quite successful at minor, and then I suppose I took the step into the senior team, and at that time the senior Curraghfin senior ladies were quite successful at the time. And it's only now when I look back on it, I should have really suppose I was young at this time, but I took winning for granted, you know. And for me to walk into that setup, like if I was to come back now and walk into setup, like I was privileged to walk into that setup.
That was Ruth Stevens, perhaps, Trisha Gleeson, Michelle Burke, Michelle Glynn,
the Heenhans.
Deirdre Avern was probably still around.
Sarah Pasgrove, all these.
Sheila Fitzgerald,
It was some setup, But like, it was really, it was a county standard. Like, but
what Kilcar and Clonburn probably are now, yeah, that a lot, 10, yeah, 12 of those were probably on the on county panels or, yeah, on the senior.
And you don't realise it. It's only now when the coin flips and you find it very hard to win anything, that's when you realise, Jesus, you take winning for granted.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be. You should really relish everything you win.
Yeah, yeah. So who were your main coaches with club?
Frank Morris was probably my main one, because we had Frank from a very young age. Like, I think Frank was my first coach, because Mam will always tell me she remembers bringing me up to training, and Frank was like, "Oh, come back for an hour." And Mam used to always say, "Do you think I've nothing else to do for running up and down the road?" So Frank Morris was just a huge tribute goes to him, because Frank was always a man about skills, and it wasn't just your good foot; it was always your weak foot.
So we've Frank to thank for yourself and Roisin, and more than likely Lisa as well, both feet.
Yeah, we all kind of went training together. If there was one car going up the road, we all hopped in, and we all went. But Frank Morris, I had Michael Newell as well for a while. Then I had Bernie Glynn, say Michelle's dad. We had Pat Gleason.
Yes.
And we had Michael Ryder as well for a while. And I suppose in the last while, Curfin, we had Terry Delaney. And Terry has done a huge, huge
shift there.
Shift in Curfin, yeah.
I had Michael and Pat Gleason. And Bernie was in, I think he could have been with that group, but he was definitely with us with the underage, Bernie Glynn. But we got to an All-Ireland Under-16 final with Pat and Michael. One that we should have won against Meath. But great memories of those. They just loved football. And that was probably before the whole bits to S and C and the Hoppin' and Leppin'. It was just pure football.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah. And that, for me, is a huge element of football gone nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, it's the modern game is very, very different. And that's probably a bit of enjoyment that's gone for me. It's no longer the skills of the game are there now. It's a different, I suppose, a different generation, different era. It's the way times have moved. But
yeah, you don't necessarily have to be an unbelievable footballer to perform, you know, if you're strong and fit and you're able to kick. It's, you know, you don't need the both feet. Obviously, it's a big advantage, but in the past, those players probably would have, you know, the likes of yourself would have, like, really stood out on a pitch. But it's not that it's becoming drowned out with S&C, but the pendulum definitely is swinging in the S&C direction a small bit.
Completely.
Time-wise.
Yeah, completely.
Time-wise. If you think of hours that are put in training with the ball in your hand versus time with the barbell in your hand, I guess the barbell would definitely win out.
Yeah, definitely. That's just the way it's gone, I suppose, like, just in the last few years playing teams. Like, teams have got physically, like, you might have a team on paper that might look, oh, God, these are going to be very hard beat. But, like, physically, the other team that mightn't be as strong on paper could be physically very strong and very fit and end up winning the game.
Yeah.
So it's no longer the most talented players that win games now. It's your hard grafters and your hard workers that can run, you know, 9 and 10 kilometres a game and dig deep when need to dig deep. That's what's coming out on top now.
The work off the pitch.
Yes, completely.
Yeah. So that was club. And then you went to the Prez. Sean McGrath.
Yes, yeah.
And tell us about that then. What victories did you there?
We had quite a good success in the Prez. Like, Mr. McGrath at the time was probably way ahead of his time, really. Like, he
definitely.
I always say to people, like, go back to school in the morning, back to secondary if you didn't have to do any exams, because he took it so serious. And he was very organised.
Very highly, professional.
Very professional, highly organised. You know, like, we trained regularly, games. There was a proper meeting before games. You know, when you chat to other girls, they'd be like, it was hit and miss. You could go to training today and not turn up for a month, whatever. That wasn't the case. This is the present. And I enjoyed that. Now, other people wouldn't. You know, some people that kind of play football for the enjoyment or just come for the didn't really see, didn't like that side of it. But I must say, I really enjoyed the Prez. And we had good success in the Prez, I suppose, which makes it easier too when you're winning.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably hard to go to keep going training if you're not winning. But no, we had quite good time in the
And Prez. Again, it was football pitch centred.
Yes.
So I do remember that from my time in the Prez as well. And I always look back, like, Sean, he'd be rocking around the corridors there. There was no missing training. Like, if you were in school, you were going training.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas now, maybe with club or with club coaches or county coaches, now county's obviously a different gravy, but like with club coaches, it's easy, say you have a pain here or you have a niggle there or you feel a bit sick or something. They're not with you, or they haven't been, you know, bumping into you in the hallway. But that is definitely a factor in it. And then you went to GMIT?
GMIT in Castlebar, yeah. The football wasn't as big in GMIT in Castlebar now. It was very much your come day, go day, really, okay. Lifestyle. Now, it was fine and it suited me because I suppose I was playing senior county at the time, and I suppose your time was given up to that. And if you were training with county on a Tuesday and you had college training on a Wednesday evening, and I commuted up and down to college, it was another evening of training.
A lot, yeah.
You know, it was a lot. So I was kind of only glad at the time that it wasn't as big as, we suppose, like in UIG or the UL girls were playing. Like,
who did you play with of note with college football wise? What girls? Putting you on the spot here now. You better think of one at least. You weren't that. No.
No.
It's just yourself.
Yeah, like, cause when it would say with what I studied nursing down there, it was very hard to get a team together or get numbers because you had people doing different years around different placements at different times. So you could have had a girl playing that was on nights.
Okay.
And be able to come training. So I think that was.
It wasn't very together.
It wasn't very strong down there. You may not have everyone the day of a game day, which. Yeah. Wasn't really ideal.
Getcha. And then, as we said, you start with county, the senior team in 2011. But tell us about your underage career.
Underage.
Were you with under-12, sorry?
Under-12s, under-12s, under-14, under-16. And I didn't play minor. Pat Costello would have been a manager of us. We had Larry Cunningham. We had Mary Walsh.
Yes.
And Breda Walsh. We did a lot of different, I said nearly every grade had a different manager. And then I suppose I played under 12 for 2 years, under 14s for 2 years, under 16s for 2 years. You know, you have the kind of the privilege of having the birthday early in the year that you got.
What? Well, when's your birthday?
It's January.
What date?
29th.
Oh, very good. Not too far away. So
yeah, I don't really like them nowadays. They're getting older.
We're all going the one direction. That's all that I tell myself. So had you any underage victory with county?
Yeah, we won Connacht titles.
Okay.
Won, and at that age, it never went on to All Ireland.
Oh.
I think you would have had a blitz. It was a one day run.
Okay,
thing.
Okay.
But we were always quite strong at Connacht level. We always kind of came out.
Got through that.
If Mayo were usually our biggest.
Oh, very good. And then that brings us to you got an All Star in
2019.
Yes, 2019. Yeah. The year you got to the All Ireland.
Year we got to the All Ireland, yeah. I suppose it's a nice personal accolade to win, but I suppose it wasn't the ultimate of winning All Ireland.
Yeah.
But when you look back on your career now, it's a nice thing to have there on the mantelpiece.
100%.
Yeah. Completely.
But is it on the mantelpiece in your home house?
No,
or
it's out in the home house.
Yes.
In the home
house, you didn't bring it with you?
No.
No. Will you bring it?
Not yet.
No.
I will. We're in the process of building, so when we've built, I'll transfer it out. It
might be a wrestle with Breach, though. I'm sure she loves looking at it. But you mentioned there as well that wasn't obviously your ultimate goal. Like, nobody starts out their career to win All Stars. But again, it's a nice feather in your cap. Your ultimate goal was Brendan Martin, the senior All Ireland.
Yeah.
You never got one.
No.
The last time it was won was 2004. So you were a bit after that, 2011. Yeah. I don't understand it. Can we discuss that for a minute? How have Galway not won? It's a pretty broad question. How have Galway not won in All-Ireland, considering what's going on in Kilcurr and Clonburn, considering what's going on at underage? Why is it not? What are Galway doing wrong that it's not transferring?
Yeah, you're not the first one to ask the question, and you certainly won't be the last one. But it is mind-baffling because, as you said, you know, we've a lot of minors won, but... like, as I say to a lot of people, from minor, county minor to county senior is a big step up. It definitely is, because you have girls at minor level that come into a senior setup, that strength wise, the strength in senior level now has gone through the roof. I think at minor level they play a more modern football. It's actually football, whereas I think the game at senior has changed. As we mentioned before, it's built on fitness levels, and it's not a skills based game.
Yeah.
So it's very much kind of you're running a lot with the ball. There's a lot of hand passing. For me, I think like Kilkerran, I suppose, have shown, you know, the success they've had over the years. But I think at club level, they have players that other clubs can't match.
Yeah.
Whereas at county, you have a county team that can match
players. Yeah, yeah.
They're being matched. Whereas I think at club level, it's very hard to get players to match the calibre that they have.
Mm-hmm. But some really good points there. But you'd also imagine that, like, we're coming out of the trap strong. You know, if someone was to look at, without looking at a senior team, if they were to look at what Galway has or what Dublin has done, like, the Galway's CV would be a lot more attractive, you know, to other counties, the Meads or this, considering the success that's going on, as I said, at underage and with club. So is there anything that you think that, like, the senior, and I know you're only out of it, so it's a bit of a heavy loaded question. Is there anything that you think that the county board need to be doing? Like, under 21 isn't really the answer, because it's filling a gap, but it's not really filling the gap. When I moved from into the senior panel back in 2003, we had a junior team. Is that an answer? Will that bridge the gap?
It's a good question. I just don't know about, like, I just see it in our own club, and we have a junior team, and it just seems to be like where people want to drop off and just play junior. So and I know county is a different setup, but I do agree that something needs to be filled between minor and senior, and I think that it needs to be integrated so that they can see when they step up to senior what's expected. It's not only like training wise, but it's diet wise, sleep wise, all them points. I think that they really need to be filtered in, and whether it needs to be the same management, I kind of would agree, because if the senior management sees someone that's capable of stepping up, step them up.
Yeah.
You know, this molly coddling and leaving them down there just because they're young.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they need to be brought up and need to be filtered in at whatever age they're good enough to be in there.
Because, like, there's development panels for under 14, and there's development panels for the under 16. Not sure about minor, but I'm not saying that there should be an academy there, an attractive academy, whether they need to get sponsorship for it or something, that gives those players on the fringes a little peek in the window of what's going on at senior. And, you know, that could bring, like, three or four players coming out of an academy, or two or three coming out of an academy that maybe would have fallen through the cracks or not got the opportunity at all, is a big deal, you know. So do you think something like that?
I think the development squad is probably what should be brought in.
Is there one there?
Not currently, not that I'm aware of, but there should be, like, this idea of holding trials for a senior team. I don't think, you know, if someone is dropped at senior level, I shouldn't even go on at underage, but when someone is dropped at that age, I think it should be just maybe put down to a development squad and give time to build that player up and let them funnel through then to the senior team.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose really junior is, in a way, a development squad as well. There was talks of it, but hopefully it will come through. I know it's manpower as well and more money, but I mean, you're wasting money at senior if you're not providing these feeder groups.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And I think it needs to be like the S&C side of things. Them players need to be at the same S&C that the senior level are at.
Exactly.
It needs to be funneled through.
And that brings me on to the next point, something that, I don't know, I believe strongly in. Continuity with the approach or the style of football from under 12 to senior. Like, you have a coach there at under 12 that's telling you, like, he's letting you off, you know, playing narrow, and that you have this ingrained in you. We're young and we're influenced. You have this ingrained in you from under 12. Then you go on to under 14, and maybe your man is happy with the three or four players solo on the length of the pitch.
Mm.
And then you go on to under 16, and it's harder to change the style of play the older you get. Then you reach, like myself, I would say, when I reach senior, like, Willie Ward has the most beautiful style of football. And it's width. You saw it with the Kilcarran Clonburn performance. It's width. They're hugging the sidelines, stretching, and then making space for the runners. But it's very hard. Like, perhaps Kilcarran Clonburn have been doing that all along, but it's very hard to change what's been going on at under 12, under 14, or 16 minor. And then you can throw in some club and some college and some school football in there. To go changing that within a 3-year cycle of managers.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from. Yeah, it's a good point. And it definitely, like, I suppose it's probably something that Galway ladies need to sit and where you have all your different managers of all your different teams sitting down and you have to develop what your style of play is going to be like, or what you want players coming through the ranks of Galway to achieve, or what's the ethos? Where are we going? What style of football are we looking to achieve? What's going to get us that ultimate goal of an All-Ireland at senior level?
What are our strengths? What's working? And I don't, like, you can still look at a minor team, like what Daniel did with the minors last year, and look at that and say, okay, these are coming through. What's worked for them? Now, Daniel has taken over the great work that Fiona Wynne has done there. So he's in this year with the seniors. And maybe, you know, maybe that type of thing is a plus, that, you know, he's going to bring in the same style of play that he was, you know, implementing with the minors into the senior panel. But continuity and, like, just bringing in management for 3 years and expecting them to change, like, 10, 12, not even 10, 12, more habits that have been ingrained for a decade before that in 2 or 3 years is just...
Well, like, your prime example is that, as you look at Dublin and McBohan, like... He was with them the time they won, was it 3 in a row, or did they win 5 in a row or something? They kind of fell off the bandwagon, but he didn't go.
They never gave up on him.
He stuck there. They had a whole new transition of players coming in. And look what they achieved last year.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you hit the nail on the head. I think continuity is huge. And like, I don't think 3 years is long enough at senior level at the minute. Now you need to be given the good 5-6 years.
Agreed.
I know for Daniel that's gone in now, it's a lot of time. Like, I actually think it's probably easier to be a player than it is be a manager, because a manager, you're there before training, you're not gone home too well
phone
after.
Calls, yeah.
Phone calls and you're even off. It is a huge commitment, but I do think in order to achieve something, continuity is needed.
Yes. Moving on there to your injury in 2016.
Yeah, I did my cruciate. It was a day I suppose I'll never forget. I know the dates are rhyming off the top of my head. It was the 14th of February in Inchum versus Mayo. It's strange the way it happened, because I had absolutely no pain. I'd say maybe 2 out of 3 physios, doctors that I'd seen immediately after, 2 out of 3 didn't think it was my cruciate. And it was only, I suppose, until I had the scan that revealed all, that the cruciate was gone. At the time, I didn't know what it was, what the cruciate did. And I haven't heard people doing the cruciate, but it's like anything in life. You don't realise it until it comes to your own door.
Yeah.
It was a huge dark moment, I suppose, for me, because it was taking away what I really loved to do. I could no longer do it and wouldn't be able. I was being told for a year. And... what the killing part was, like, you trained a lot on your own, and that's fine for a while.
Yeah.
But it's a dark place. It's a lonely place.
Yeah. Do you think that the support there for injured players is seriously lacking? Like, I mean, you go from 30 on a pitch, you're there in the middle in the thick of it, then you get injured, and then you're, you know, because management don't know a whole pile about cruciates and all of this, like. And physios are supposed to be there at training outside the pitch. So their time is limited as well. But should there be some sort of, not necessarily a support group, but the effect that it has mentally, it's not just a physical injury. It's a mental weight as well to carry. You've been, your hopes, you were captain that year.
Yeah.
That's a big mental blow.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I've said it, and since that time I got the injury, I've said it and I've said it over and over again. There's a huge need, niche there for... someone that takes injured players and brings them along mentally and physically. Like, you'd go training and all that's there is a pitch. So for you that needs to do rehab, you just stand side of the pitch. Baltic weather conditions, getting cold, getting sick. So for me, I found myself disengaging in it, because you were doing your own rehab, before you came to training. I think it'd be a bit different if you could come to training, you felt part of the team, because you could do your work alongside yes. with the other girls, whereas you're at home, you're doing your own bit. And like, for me, I just know there was times where you overdid it, and the signs of that then were coming back to haunt you. So it's to get the balance.
Mm-hmm.
But and I know a lot of it will come down to funding and whatnot, but I don't see the reason of, like, if you're going to have two physios in with the team, why one of them couldn't be
yeah.
your person getting people back,
very good.
Rehabbing them.
Hey, well, when it comes down to the quality of yourself or the Ailish Morrisseys, or who else, did anybody else get a, like, these girls that are doing their cruciates are big losses to teams. So I know there's an investment money-wise in it, but surely as well, you know, these girls yourself, you can claim back the treatment money. But surely Croke Park should... It's a bit, not a bit of a waste, but like, you're going to physio here, you're going to physio there, you're going to physio there. Just get some sort of core group together within each county that can make better use of that time. And I mean, standing at the side of a pitch, you know, standing at the side of a pitch for an hour and a half, 2 hours looking at a training session is pointless, when you could be maybe in the gym beside the pitch with two or three others. And even it could be someone from... Like, it could be club players. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, restricted to just that count, that team, but more of a coherent, what should I say, rehab program than just you in here doing your own stuff and then trotting out and standing on a pitch for 2 hours.
It's just to feel part of the setup.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a lonely spot. Now, yeah. I will say it's one injury that you, and it's hard to tell the person at the time, but it's an injury I look back on, and it's, it's definitely an injury that improved me. Like, mentally, it made me way, way stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard at the time. Yeah, I will say it, very hard at the time, but it's something that it did improve me. It brought me on as a player.
Serious mental strength. Yeah, and then that was 2016. Then you came back and you got your All-Star in
2019.
Yeah. Just the last few questions here, Tracy. Who would you say was the biggest influence in your career? Coach-wise, first off, because I know straight away you were going to say your parents.
Yeah, Frank Morris, I think, has to be up there, because Frank was just all about skills, and you just thoroughly enjoy going training because it was all skill work. It was all kicking the ball. You know, that was your first thing to look up, kick the ball.
Yes.
And even when I came into the Curve and senior team at that time, that's what it was. And the enjoyment, sure, I didn't realise it, but the enjoyment was huge at the time, because that's, I suppose, it's like everything in life. It's what you're brought up and what you get used to. That's what I was used to. And in the last few years, that's not what has been happening.
Yeah,
and it's very hard to fit into a team in a different, when the game is played at a different style.
Yeah, I hear you. And then you always refer to your parents.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be anywhere without mom and dad. You know, they were huge to me at underage, bringing me here, there. I often remember dad, her mum would sit in the car for an hour when we'd be training up in Minlow Wimmets at underage. You know, like, it's not everyone that'd do that.
Yeah,
mum
used to bring me to Coolarn, the middle of nowhere, and go, I don't know, maybe she went to visit my auntie, or maybe someone else brought me home, and we've gone daily off and brought me to training. But it's a lot for them as well when you're not driving.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's only when you look back on it now, it's like, it's a lot. It's huge to ask someone to bring you and sit in the car. Like, you know, if you sit in the car for an hour and a half yourself, you'd be kind of frothing at them out, wondering where it's going on or whatnot.
Or they finish it.
I know, and like, I'm sure they travel to the length and breadth of Ireland supporting you, like, to any game, whether it be up, you know, the top end of Ireland, they were there.
You made it worth it for them.
It's even at home, like when I mentioned been playing with the senior, the Galway team, like, you're washing your lunches. You know, you never had to ask. It was always done.
Yeah.
And I know a lot would say to me, you were spoiled, but
That's just the way they rolled. Yeah. Are they disappointed that you're retired, or do they understand that life must move on?
Ah, no, they're understanding of it. Like, they will miss, I suppose. No, look, they'll still support, but they'll miss the trek. And I suppose with Jason still playing, they'll still have days out following him around the place. But
that brings me to Jason, actually. He is playing with the Curragh Finn seniors.
Yeah, he's travelling at the minute. He's away travelling for the year, till summertime anyways. So I suppose it's a bit different at home now. He's not around either. So
yeah,
so they're on their own time.
The relationship has really been tested. They'll have to start following Róisín. What did you make of Cara Finn's performance with the men against Bridget's? Very disappointing.
Disappointing. I probably thought, you know, Bridget's were the better team on the day. I think Cara Finn just didn't perform. And look, it's like everything. The time, you know, Cara Finn had their good spell. And I suppose this year, they probably, you know, looking at them in the county scene, in Galway, didn't look like they were going to come out of Galway at all. And that's harsh of me to say, but they really did progress. But I think on the day, Bridget's were just phenomenal. Like, even looking at Bridget's in the semi-final the last day, their fitness levels are phenomenal for this time of year. Like, they're just seem to be a team that's going to flourish. Like,
yeah, that'll be a good final. The Glen...
Glenn. They had a good performance as well.
Last question. Your one favourite memory, if you could click your fingers and go back to one moment in your entire career, one, what would it be?
I think it would have to be, this is going back to primary school level, I think it would have to be Raftery Cup, because it was family orientated, I suppose, and I did a lot. Had my brother and two cousins, Róisín and Lisa, back the road.
It was mixed, yeah.
I think it was a family affair. I think that has to be, because we weren't given a chance in that final because we were playing against Cumber, and Cumber didn't allow girls play. You had to be fourth or fifth class and above to play in Cumber, whereas in Ceylon you played if you were in first class or second class. Do you know that kind of way?
And so, that tops the All-Star, the 2019 All-Ireland. Wow.
Yeah, like, I suppose like the 2019 All-Ireland is one that, like, we didn't perform. And look, we weren't let perform. You know, Dublin were very good on the day. Dublin were, you know, sure, they had won a few in a row at the time. The day was, no, I'm not giving excuses, but, you know, Dublin were better than us on the day, and it's a game. The memories were great, and, you know, you'll never forget that running out onto Croke Park, and the build up to it was great. But I suppose we didn't perform on the day, and it was just
the disappointment still sits there.
Disappointment, yeah.
I have to say that I don't know what it is when I hear people retire, and it does make me sad. And the last time I felt like this was when Sinead Burke retired. Because I still look at you as being young and fit and still having so much more to give. But yeah, that's life. Life must move on. But Tracy, that brings us to the end of this podcast. And I want to thank you again for joining us for podcast number 2 with the Maroon and White Pod. Thank you for the memories, and no doubt what's cooking up there and will arrive in May. Have some of those genes. Hopefully we'll have some of those genes, and we'll be kicking points over from the corner flag in Croke Park. And we'll give it 20 years time. Okay.
Thanks, Ida.
All right. Well done. Thanks, Tracy.